I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Joe Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz, MyOliveLeaf.biz, and The Hurricane Report, merchandise, and more.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
You know, like we're talking right now, and what we, you know, have been pushing, all these woke people now are talking, 53 years ago, the way this stuff is going around now about all these so-called woke black people now, the white people and the lesbians and the feminists were talking like this 53 years ago and pledging to a 50, a 25, a 50, and a 100-year plan to put this in place. And that's one of the campaigns, one of the propaganda points they've been making over and over about toxic masculinity. So you take a situation where you got a good man who is a musician. He grew up hard, saw his daddy lynched, rescued a hoe who was also a pimp from the streets, who was a violent hoe and pimp that shot people, always violent the rest of her life. And then they make her into a saint, and the man that rescued her and was actually putting his money up to help women, they made him the villain. See, that's what they do. They have no respect, because you know what they do, and we forget, by any means necessary. We look at this crap and we believe it, and we forget, and we will not listen to by any means necessary. Now, see, that's what they do, though.
What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?
Yeah, I told you, you're always introducing things that they didn't feature in the Netflix movie, so I know. A lot when you talk about
I know. A whole lot of crap they don't bring out.
Gotcha.
Like, for example, what's love got to do with it? Talking about Ike being the one that is a vicious one. No, Tina was a pimp in Memphis. All my old pimp fools that I used to represent were in awe of that woman. They used to say, Tina, little bitty Tina, she was a gangster pimp at 17, had a whole stable of hoes, 2-3 bottom hoes. Used to pop a cap on her.
Wait, are you talking about my Tina Turner with the beautiful legs?
Yeah, that one.
No way.
She's notorious.
No
way. The pimp in Memphis where she used to be a pimp at. Gangster pimp. And all the men on my generation in L.A. who thank Ike for keeping us straight and coming around and talking to us whenever he saw us about stay in school, stay drug-free, get your studies together. The most important thing right now you can do is get your mind together. That was Ike. I remember that from being in elementary school all the way through high school. And that violent, rude, crude woman who cussed everybody out, who mistook her for Ike, driving around in that tinted window Rolls Royce twin to Ike's. Yeah, we remember her. But see, that's how they lie about it. You know what?
I just love Tina Turner, and you're breaking my heart.
That woman is a witch. That woman is
a witch.
We would say, hey, Ike, and if it was Ike, he'd have his homeboy roll the windows down. He'd stop, pull over, talk to us for 2 hours, send his homeboy off to get hamburgers and fries and Cokes, come back and talk to us. If we made a mistake and it was Tina in the Rolls Royce, she'd roll them down, call us all kind of black N-words, little MFs. How dare we talk to her? And she'd go run our little pickaninny selves over. That's how she used to go. This was after the last of the two shows we did with him and his then current wife had aired. He said, Judge, I didn't know they were going to do that to me when I signed that release. I wasn't like that. I said, brother, I know. I was one of those boys in L.A. that you talked to from the fifth grade all the way through high school. You had stopped. Man, you must have stopped 7 or 8 times. Me and my homeboys were out there, you know, playing touch football or something, or tackle football in the park, or just hanging out. You were telling us what time it was. You remember that? Yes, sir. How old are you? When I told him, he said, oh, yeah, you would. I thought you were younger than that. I said, man, we thank you. And you know what he was in my court for? He and his wife had a foundation, and it was for battered women. And what they did was they would gift these women money to get away from the abusive man. If they went back to him, it wasn't a gift, it was a loan. I saw that evil witch when I was at a barbecue cookout that some family friends were having four doors down from where he and Tina Turner lived up in Baldwin Hills, and he was down on his knees gardening with a trowel. And he got up, took his gloves off, dusted his hands off, came over, shook our hands, talked to us, asked us how the football team was doing since we all played ball for Dorsey High, told us to hang in there. You know, he had kept up with everything, went back over. Tina comes storming out about 20 minutes later, cussing and hollering about why didn't he have these lyrics together. And he was trying to tell her, he was trying to think it through, which was what he was trying to do then. She got to cussing. He got to asking her, would you please stop that? These some kids listening. She cussed us out, walked to the edge of the property, hands on hips, started yelling all kinds of foul crap at us, walked back in. About 15 minutes later, she came out mad again about, I'm not waiting on you coming up with these goddamn, except for lyrics. She picked up one of these real heavy rakes, the kind with the wrought iron head to it that looks like a comb, and then the big shaped handle. Fortunately, she picked it up by the rake end. She hauled off and hit him, looked like it was hard as she could, across his back. The man flattened onto the ground, said, damn, baby, and then she hit him again. Then she stormed back in the house. Another time, I was in college getting ready to go to law school, and what happened, I was in the boys market on Crenshaw by the railroad tracks of L.A. There were four little cute girls that obviously had gone to Dorsey High by the sweatshirts they had on, and they were saying, oh, is that Miss Tina? Oh, my God, it's Tina Turner. And they said, are you sure? Yes, it is. So one of them had the temerity to say, Miss Tina, she turned around, you little black bitch, how dare you talk to me, little hoe? I'll slap the grease off your face. I didn't give you permission, little slut, to talk to me. And the girl started crying. That's how that witch was.
So, Judge, there
was 20-something then, and I've been seeing her since I was 9, 10 years old do that shit.
There were three scenes in the movie. One, the iconic line, one of the line everybody knew, anime, eat the cake. He shoved the birthday cake in her face. And she ran out of the restaurant.
Oh, that's
the other
a lie.
One was the big,
that is a lie.
What about the big fight in the limo?
The alternative was somebody gave her the damn cake and she smashed it in their face. And that maid that committed suicide, supposedly, all the pimps in Memphis that I used to represent said it was Tina probably popped the cap on her. I had an old hoe for a client.
Wait, Judge, what maid? I'm not familiar with the maid.
In the movie. The movie. The maid
supposedly
killed herself.
Okay.
It was
okay.
On camera, but everybody said that was probably Tina to pop the cap on. Another thing, I had an old client died of breast cancer, but she had been a hoe too. She couldn't walk because Tina had roped her behind the Cadillac and drug her around the projects, foot homes, and ground off one of her kneecaps. Now, that's the one you get crap about Saint Tina with her violent little ass.
What about the fight that happened in the limo and the day that she ran all bloody?
I don't know, but she's like everybody in L.A. that had seen them over that long period of time between when they were kids and grown and the shit she used to do in L.A., on the streets, said, that's a lie. It's the other way around. because it was always her other way around. She'd be whining about what he did to her, and some people that would see it saying that wasn't the way it went down. It was Tina did that to him.
What about that rape?
Think about
scene
it.
When
you're
he drug
a woman
her by
and
the
you're
hair.
17 and you got other women playing prostitute for you and taking their money. What the hell are you going to do? Pimps are the lowest of the low. See, you know how that woman got her ass saved? There's a huge club in Memphis. It opened back up. It needs a lot of renovation, but it's still there. It's called Paradise. On the wall is a fire department permit that says no more than 5,000 people. It's huge. So one day when she was still pimping, she snatched the phone from the mic from some woman, I was told. I didn't see it, but it's hearsay, and smacked the babe because it was one of her hoes, took the microphone and got to performing. Ike was there, saw it, and discovered her and got her out the game. See, that's the way
so
it went
Judge,
down.
So are you saying that the rape scene, even the rape scene when he drug her by the hair into the room, when he raped her
Hell,
in the sound
Tina
booth, all that was made for TV?
Like Tina, yeah, Tina used to do her hoes like that. Remember, one of my clients now dead, she drug around the projects tied to the back of a car.
You're breaking up, Judge.
Now,
I can't hear you.
That is a myth.
You're
the
up.
Myth of a beaten Tina Turner is a lie. That woman always had a nasty attitude. I mean, understand, I'm in the fifth grade. I'm getting ready to go into law school. And between that time, every time I saw that woman on the streets in L.A., she was being foul, discourteous, rank, vicious, evil, and violent.
So what did I promised him
when we were sitting in Spargo's in Beverly Hills.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Judge, this is just crushing me. I said, brother, I'll tell you what. I'll make a promise to you. Every time that witch comes up, I'll try to tell the truth about what really happened. I don't know about everything, but I saw you two, both of you, all the time. Well, not all the time, but a lot over the years. And I know how you acted, and I know how miserably she acted to everybody, like she was hating every somebody she saw. And the last straw was when she was standing in line at Boys Market and she cussed out these four little young teenage black girls who were her fans just because they had the temerity to speak respectively. Ms. Turner? Low-down woman.
And so she ended up writing
part of this crap to destroy the black man, which was a goal of Hollywood and always has been.
But why do you think nothing came out when the film came out of her book, I, Tina?
It was suppressed.
Suppressed? Okay.
Yes, suppressed.
Yeah, I always thought he went to jail for something else, but he said he went to jail for cocaine addiction and legal trouble.
Yes.
And then he relapsed
yes.
and ended up going back to jail.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I had nothing
and
to do
remember,
with
before
violence.
He died, he and his current wife had a foundation to help abused women escape their circumstances. It became a gift to them if they did, and if they went back, it became a loan. I saw all the paperwork, documentation, bank accounts, and everything. He was in front of me, and this was real live contractual arbitration, according to the California Supreme Court. It was not TV play acting.
Yeah. I always thought, here's a line real quick. I'm getting ready to open up the lines, Judge. But I always thought the reason why, well, the way he was featured in the featured in the movie was because I had read somewhere that he had witnessed his father being beaten and left for dead by a white mob. So I thought maybe that was, he never got over that, and that's why he was so violent.
My grandfather was a physician. He and Alex Haley's grandfather practiced medicine together up here in Jackson, Tennessee. He and one of my great uncles had to leave a certain state because they murdered two deputy sheriffs in retaliation for those two deputies leading a lynch mob to lynch one of their other brothers. So, yeah, you can be a peaceful man after killing somebody. A whole lot of them are. My father, great uncle, a lot of their friends were in World War II, World War I, and Korea, and they killed a lot of damn people. But they were peaceful when they got back. Didn't have all of this post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Well, why do you think that, I'm on Wiki, and why do you think it didn't mention his charity? Like, I can't find it.
I don't know. On two separate occasions, separated by more than a year or so, he was in my courtroom about that. But you don't see a mention, do you?
No.
And it's televised.
All
if
right.
you look hard, you might be able to find it. Two of them.
Right.
Hollywood and that whole group that hangs with them has had 90 years worth of fascination with pedophilia. Shirley Temple. You know what the agency was that she worked for? Do you know what his name was?
No, sir, I don't. The little white
kitty
girl,
porn.
Yeah,
Shirley Temple,
the little white girl.
Yeah,
child
that became Shirley Temple Black, U.S. Ambassador to Nigeria. You know what the name of her agency was? It was called Kitty Porn Inc. Listen, the name of her agency was called Kitty Porn Inc. They have adults who are anywhere from 20 to 80 years old who are intending to or who have spent their entire adult lifetimes dealing with fantasy and make-believe.
Wow.
And every time I'm looking, you know, I've been looking at Star Trek, Next Generation, Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, just studying it since I'm at home, and my mouth has been dropping open, realizing all of the stuff they've been doing, this transsexual, fluid gender. We didn't even know it then. And now that I look back on it in retrospect, I'm going, damn,
yeah,
like, okay, boy, Klingon, big brother,
androgynous,
you know, the big brother Klingon,
alien.
Is with, no, he, yeah, but he's with Starfleet, Worf,
Klingon. I don't watch it, I would be
okay.
Lying,
I've
never seen it.
He's finally found a girlfriend, and she's infected by this intelligent parasite that has had 7 lifetimes living in human host, and half of the people call her old man because the last time they knew her, she was this old guy who was a warrior. Now she's a hot-looking babe that has this love affair with Worf, and since he's a Klingon and they deal with rough trade, rough sex, she's one of the few that can hang in there back with rough sex. So now they got somebody that is fluid gender. It's somebody's essence in there in a woman's body that used to be in an old man's body, and now they got the black man standing. Big Worf looks like he is a NFL linebacker making love to her. They always have this stuff in there about somebody getting the gender confused. Look at Jumanji, designed for these kids, with the Rock in there, just out last year. And what do? Every single character in there changes sex 5 or 6 damn times, from male to female. What do you think that is? And this is designed for teenagers and young sub-teens.
That dude that
died, that dude that played Black Panther, they have him playing Black Panther. They had him playing Thurgood Marshall. He looks nothing like him. James Brown looks nothing like him. They had him playing Jackie Robinson, looked nothing like him. And he had the part is this Egyptian god in a pretty good sci-fi thing to talk about the ancient Egyptian religion pretty accurately. He was the god of wisdom, wearing a robe and flaming as much as he could. And it got you paying attention to this. See, that's what they do. And now you can't even get a young black male to act like a man unless he is a rare one. See, that's what they're doing. This poison. And he plays one the Egyptian god of wisdom, and he's a flamer.
I got to check that out this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm going back on Ike and Tina. See, that's what they did. They put lies out, and everybody thinks it's the truth. They even had a men's magazine the other day. I was just browsing through. Yeah, that's like having Ike Turner show up as the guest speaker at a hashtag Me Too convention. Yeah, Tina was the evil witch. He's the one that put his money up to save women who were getting abused. But, you know, you don't get that. And what we, you know, have been pushing, all these woke people now are talking 53 years ago, the way this stuff is going around now about all these so-called woke black people now, the white people and the lesbians and the feminists were talking like this 53 years ago and pledging to a 25, a 50, and a 100-year plan to put this in place. And that's one of the campaigns, one of the propaganda points they've been making over and over about toxic masculinity. So you take a situation where you got a good man who is a musician. He grew up hard, saw his daddy lynched, rescued a hoe who was also a pimp from the streets, who was a violent hoe and pimp, that shot people, always violent the rest of her life, and then they make her into a saint, and the man that rescued her and was actually putting his money up to help women, they made him the villain. See, that's what they do. They have no respect, because you know what they do, and we forget, by any means necessary. We look at this crap and we believe it, and we forget. And we will not listen to by any means necessary. Now, see, that's what they do to us. By any means necessary to make their point. Where 3 years ago, some woman got suspended from, Teen Vogue, one of the editors. She wrote a thing saying it's all right for women to lie and get men put in the penitentiary, even if they're innocent, if it makes their point. That was spread around Twitter, too. They have articles. See, in fact, I recall retweeting one of her articles that said that.
Hold on, Judge. I'm actually on the page, and it says inaccuracies. I did not sing or play guitar on the record Rocket 88. The first recording, Tina Wish. Okay, that's music. And the film Anime learns of her name change, and it had given birth in reality. However, Tina saw final copy. Okay, in real life, Ike didn't call her Anime. He calls her Anne. The film insinuates that Tina's firstborn is Ike's biological child. In reality, Craig Turner was Tina's son. Ike later adopted Craig. The film depicts the couple getting married after Ike and his entourage sneak Tina out of the hospital. In reality, Tina wrote in her book, Tina, that Ike was not present for the birth of their son. Tina checked herself into the hospital after she gave birth. Tina got into a fight with a woman, and she fired her the next day. The next day, Tina performed a show Ike wrote on his book, Taking Back My Name. He was unaware that the woman was a prostitute, and he was out of town to attend a court hearing in St. Louis. when Tina gave birth in Los Angeles. Lorraine, the mother, okay, reenactment in the clip. Let me see, in the scene, dated 1968. Wait, okay. The infamous Eat the Cake scene was an exaggerated reenactment of a real-life incident that occurred during the early years of the review, where Tina recalled a waitress giving her a pound cake while she was sitting in Ike's Cadillac. So Tina said she didn't order it. Ike insisted she did and ordered her to eat all of it. The scene where Ike raped Tina during the recording was also exaggerated. Oh, my God.
See, yeah, oh now God. You get me, by the way. First one, I'll move to be doobie doobie doo, gong 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 gong. Yeah, we all remember that in 1959 when we were, See, you see there, fact check, and that isn't all of them. See, everybody's believing a damn Hollywood manufactured myth. Now you get the idea. It's poison.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Propaganda that screwed over a good man that a lot of now old men owe their good fortune to for keeping us straight out on the streets.
Wow.
And I resent
he
that.
Didn't even...
We know how foul that woman was.
He didn't even say, I'll kill you. That's not even true. Tina said in her book after the suicide attempt, she joked with a friend that she was so afraid he probably threatened her, which is why she survived. She said she was unconscious and that all that was made up.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's
what they did to destroy a black man and the general image of black men. So that we are perceived as violent, atavistic cavemen. See what they
do? Yeah, I understand. I get it. All right, Des, we're going to open up the lines. We're in the second hour. It's 5:06 now. I apologize because, I believed every inch of it because it clearly said that the two had signed off on it and that this was actually based on her life, you know, and
look,
that's probably
let me say this.
All
that isn't quite what happened.
But
I can't get into it because I was had an active law license at the time, but Ike showed me some of the paperwork from the movie, so I won't get into that. It's a lie. And I told him he had a good case for exceeding the authority because he didn't do it. He just said he didn't want to hurt her. He understood she had to make it in the world.
That's insane. All right, Judge, we're going to open up the lines. Guys, please remember to please keep your background noise at a minimum. We do share the audio on other platforms.
Is it my turn, or is we waiting on the guy to talk?
Yes,
go ahead,
it's your time.
I didn't get it. I was confused. Yeah, well, let me just say this to what Brother Bernard was saying about the town hall. I didn't get to watch it, thank God. I didn't even watch Trump's. But, you know, it's just at this point now where remember what Biden has said in his priority last year. His priority, his number one priority was what? LGBTQ. So it doesn't surprise me that he's talking about that. I saw the clip because I was in the room. My mom is watching CNN. They watched it all night, and she was looking at it, and they were playing different sides of the town halls, from Trump's town hall to Biden's. And, of course, with Trump's, they focused on the part where he said, I've done more for the black community than Abraham Lincoln. And with Biden, they're trying to show him as being more compassionate, and especially when the woman talked about Trump and how she has a 7-year-old trans son or something like that, 7 years old. So, and I think those could be actors too that are in there, that they bring those people. You know, I don't think they just let them talk to the president and ask the questions they want. I think they feed that to them. But I, you know, personally, it doesn't surprise me at this point what they're doing. Now, in regards to the Tina Turner thing, I had already known that a lot of that stuff in that movie was bullshit. Because if you go to Wikipedia, Valerie, on What's Love Got to Do with It, they even list what was fictionalized in the story. And one of the things that they stated was that Eat the Cake anime scene, like Judge said, that never happened. And I read there's a whole list of inaccuracies about the movie. And movies, of course, are not, you know, it's always Hollywood adds an element to it. They do it with all movies, whether they're true, you know, even historical films. Like I remember when they did one on St. Augustine High School versus Jesuit, a movie called Passing Glory about Harold Sylvester and the St. Aug basketball team that played in the first black-white basketball game in Louisiana, in New Orleans. And they had it where St. Aug only won by a point, but in reality, St. Aug beat Jesuit by like 25 or 30 points. You know, they beat them real bad and whipped them. So they always fictionalize stuff like this. And with Ike, I even read that after that film, he faced a lot of hell. He actually had people come up to him spitting in his face, people hitting him and so forth. So, and Tina Turner, I think, even acknowledged that some of the stuff in the film wasn't true when the movie came out. So it gives me a whole new light, especially when I watch old episodes of Mad TV or In Living Color when they make fun of the film. I'm like, well, maybe he didn't deserve that at all. But, you know, even his bandmates said they never truly witnessed one of his bandmates on his own son. They say that he never witnessed him abuse Tina. Now, they weren't there at his house, but, you know, and there all the time. But then I take Judge's word for it because he was there. He witnessed Tina. And that's the first time I'm hearing Tina actually hitting him with a rake.
Or what about the fact that Tina was a pimp? Like, that doesn't, aren't you taking
that too, yeah. I never heard that. She was a pimp.
Yeah.
I never heard that one.
But the saddest part about what you just said, Attorney Rashad, is the fact that he became the face of domestic violence. You know what I mean? And that
yeah,
totally
well, they did that with
what he was trying to do in real life. So life was not depicted in art. You know what I mean? It was just,
but they do that with all black men.
That he was, huh?
Yeah, they do that. But you know, in the 90s, they did that with all black men, where we become the face of a movement for all the wrong reasons. Like even with O.J., after the O.J. Simpson case, a lot of people don't realize this, but they set up all types of women's groups, domestic violence groups as a result of that case. They had Congress actually pass bills against domestic violence. You know, domestic violence laws across the country changed just as a result of that case. And so, you know, it's typical, you know, when things like that happen, yeah, they make him, they make you the scapegoat of that because that's the only way they can get their laws passed and get their agendas pushed. You know, as Judge said, they had an agenda. So, yeah, he went through hell.
Hey, guys, right now you're listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. I hope and pray that you're having a great day and you enjoyed today's audio. Hold on, guys. I think I'm going to upload some more content from the Patreon page, patreon.com/Valerie Denise Jones, patreon.com/Valerie Denise Jones. Yep, doing that. FYI, today's audio came from, it's an excerpt from Friday's live broadcast of the Judge Around Show, which airs every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call in, join the conversation, have some fun with us. And if you miss the live broadcast of the Judge Around Show, you can definitely listen at patreon.com/Valerie Denise Jones. Full audio, bonus features, outtakes, et cetera, et cetera. Please, please, please consider signing up for Patreon because Valerie Denise Jones looks forward to the day when her platforms support themselves as opposed to coming out of my wallet. Not only do I spend money, resources, I also spend countless hours every single week to bring you love, blood, sweat, and tears through sickness and in health. So please don't just parlay down in the comment section. Show your support. Vote with your dollars, like they are saying during the election. Yeah, but please support the channel, guys. Please do that. And you can do that at patreon.com/ValerieDenise. Also, $ValerieDeniseJones is at Cash App. $ValerieDeniseJones. PayPal is ValerieDeniseJones. No, the Cash App. The Cash App is actually $ValerieDenise. ValerieDenise. $ValerieDenise. That's the Cash App. All right, so while this file is loading, got a few more things I want to say. Just a reminder, 100% of the resources do go back into the channels. I want to bring you guys a video here very, very soon, because I think that the visuals will take the content to a whole nother level. So as soon as I can divert some of those resources and time, I will definitely do that, so that I can bring that to you. The other thing is, Judge Brown and I have a surprise for you guys. We are going to do a quick little road trip. So we're going to be offering you guys a lot of bonuses to show you guys how much we love and appreciate you. So stay tuned for that, because Judge Brown has a lot he'd like to say, a lot he'd like to share. While I'm waiting on this file to upload, it's got a few more seconds. I want to address a couple people down in the comment section, because you guys are very, very, very toxic, some of you, and you know who you are. I've trolled your page, and you know, when I was out sick and I was on other people's platforms donating and showing love and support, because as I mentioned, they deserve it because they put so much time and effort into, you know, the content. I noticed that a couple of my toxic friends were also making large donations, showing love and support, and affording these channels positive vibes. Now, I have no problem with the donations, the love and support, but what I have a problem is when they bought their little raggedy ass over here, don't show no kind of love, no kind of support, no donations, no nothing, and then have the audacity to leave toxic comments in the comment section, aka Judge Joe Brown needs his own platform. Judge Joe Brown and Valerie Denise shouldn't work together, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, saved by the bell. The file has uploaded, so I ain't finna go in. Barbie almost left the building. She did. Military Barbie almost stepped in. But anyway, yep. Let me just play this audio and shut the hell up. Here we go.
Thank you so much, Judge Joe Brown. You know, I appreciate you having me on the show. Anytime you want me to come back, I'll be back. I'm on my way to this rally now. I'm going to hear what the president has to say, and I'm going to take it back and deliver it to the community and begin to allow people to make their own decisions and not what some rapper that's living up in a mansion on the hill is telling them to do based off of what he believes.
Well, you know, you can tell the president I support him and I like his programs, and he's a man, and I'll give you a little slogan. People, this election, they got a choice. Man or woman up or punk out.
That's right. That is so right. 100%. I'll talk to you soon, Judge Joe Brown.
Well, okay. There were some more questions we wanted to ask you, but we'll need to get you back on since you run out of time. And I do want us to be able to talk to you when you get sworn in.
Oh, awesome, Judge Brown. You know I'm coming to see you first, especially when it comes to legislation. Criminal justice reform is at the top of my list, so I'm excited about sitting down with you at the table and figuring out what we can do different this go-round when it comes to reforming our justice system.
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Do you want to give us social media or any information before you go?
My social media is the Angela Stanton, guys, in my campaign website. It's StantonKingForCongress.com. Please look me up, follow me, and give me your support.
Thank you.
You
got
appreciate
mine.
Appreciate you so much.
All right.
All right. So Angela has dropped. Guys, hopefully you enjoyed.
Sorry. Left the house. The congresswoman has left the house.
Yeah, I wanted to ask her about Killer Mike's bank, being that he is in her area. Judge, do you want to share your views on the fact that Killer Mike has partnered with two other people to open a black
start
home
an online
base
bank.
And
with
a
bank, yes, that would be Ambassador Andrew Young, and I forget who's the third person.
It was Andrew Young and, gosh, all these things popping up. Ryan Glover.
I'm going to call him by his title, Ambassador Andrew Young. That's important. There aren't too many black folks that got the label ambassador in our history. So, Ambassador Andrew Young. Okay,
and
so,
Ryan Glover from your part of the, your neck of the TV land, that part of the world, because it says
I don't know him, but I'll say this. Ambassador Andrew Young and Martin Luther King III started a television network, Bounce TV. And as a matter of fact, they carry my reruns, and I get good residuals from the showing. So, well, at least when I can collect them from SAG-AFTRA, that's good. So maybe with that background, if that studio is going okay, I thought about what I told you the other day, and it might be interesting if he can acquire the capitalization, because nobody, even Buffett, can sit up in, Warren Buffett can sit up and capitalize something like a bank or Soros either. What you have to do is put together packages, and you have to get other people in. Like, there's this billionaire that I'm personally acquainted with. Met him through my ex-wife up in Aspen, he and his wife, and he got in a little trouble because something unforeseen happened on an economic development, and he was $52 million short of leverage in what he needed, and he got it within 48 hours just making some phone calls. He didn't have it personally, but you see, that's how they get it. You have to be into leveraging, doing stuff that is permissible, that doesn't get you put in jail, though a lot of people do get put in jail. And see, one thing, we aren't ruthless enough in any of our dealings except when it comes to drugs, and that's illegal and that poisons our neighborhoods. But every rich billionaire, multimillionaire family I ran into has uncle so-and-so, brother so-and-so, daddy or grandfather so-and-so that did time in a federal penitentiary or some kind of white crime trying to get the family rich. People don't really get that. They have this image of these guys being well-padded and living in the lap of luxury, which is true, doing nothing. Now, they've got trust fund members of the families that don't do a damn thing, but the ones that do really bust their ass and work 60, 80-hour weeks. I mean, all the time, and sleep does not come to them because they're really working hard and they're ruthless. They're like gangsters, the way they look at life and the way they approach things. And most people I know that wolf about them aren't as hard-nosed or hardcore as they are. So you have to understand that. You cannot get anywhere if you are safe. Be legal, but you can't always be safe. Sometimes you have to gamble, but you got to know when to gamble. And what was it? Johnny Cash came up with that thing. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk.
I think that was Kenny.
And I confuse them sometimes. What they say about us, we all look alike.
Don't say they all look alike. I knew you were going to say that.
I actually had a trial one time. You know, all of you look alike, don't you? I said,
oh my God.
I can't even nowhere near the same day. Well, I guess you look different. We just got to look at your skin tone.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's right. You've been staring at it for a half hour, and then when you need it, you don't remember which one it was your waiter. Which one it was your waiter.
I totally understand.
Anyway, know when to walk, know when to run. So it is what it is. And you got to be ruthless. But I hope these guys come across all right. But one of the things that worries me is there is this trend of bank consolidation that's been going on for 20, 25 years. Like where I live right now, they didn't have Wells Fargo. That was on the West Coast and some other places, but it's here now. They didn't have Bank America, though they had it in a lot of other places in the country. Even Bank of America started off as a legitimate mob money. So that Bank of America's all over the place now. And then they've got Regions, which is expanding out west all over the place, going the other way. And a whole lot of banks went under with that mortgage problem back when. So everything is getting to be one huge, big, deep pocket. And they're depending upon Ultimate Finance from Goldman Sachs that upon special dispensation from the U.S. government doesn't even have to have any cash at all to back up their accounts. And that's why we had the $700 billion bailout under Bush and the $781 billion economic incentive plan under Obama, the Kenyan mulatto Bush bunny. So, you know, it is what it is, and I wish them good luck. But now you got to build up investor and depositor confidence so they'll deal with it, and they also have to make sure they come under the federal protection so people will have confidence that if the bank goes under, they don't lose their money. There are certain provisions that the feds have that are necessary in terms of compliance so people get benefit of the depositor's insurance provisions in American law or U.S. law.
Right.
But good,
right. Yeah.
Good luck to them. It's just right. That you're talking about people who can leverage and fund things, not in six figures, which is too small, not in seven figures, not in eight figures, not in nine figures, but in 10 and 11 figures. See, so you got to deal, not counting the decimal. So you got to deal right. with that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Good luck to them if they can.
Definitely. Right now, Judge, I'm going to open up the phone lines because I'd like to expand the conversation. I didn't see a lot of press, which is why I keep pushing forward regarding the, and I don't know if it's because of where I was looking, and I know that people's favorite site is not CNN, a lot of our people, but this article is from CNN Business. And the title does read, Killer Mike's New Black-Owned Business Received Tens of Thousands of Account Requests in Less Than 24 Hours. And it's so funny that when they quoted Killer Mike, or no, Glover, he said, actually, it's more than tens of thousands because that number is increasing by the day. So I don't know if they were trying to shortchange him, be funny, but he quickly put him in their place. But anyway, the article real quick so that, you know, when we open the lines, people know what we are referencing. This is a new minority Black and Latina-owned and operated digital bank with hopes of supporting Black-owned banks and businesses. Greenwood was created by Bounce TV founder Ryan Glover and his close friend, rapper activist Michael Killer Mike Render. The leadership team at Greenwood includes former Atlanta mayor Andrew Young. They unveiled their new platform on Thursday after raising more than $3 million in seed funding in June. Glover has been working on this project since 2019. He says his interest in the venture spiked after the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis because that sparked the nationwide reckoning concerning racism and inspired so many Americans. The bank does not open until January, Judge, but the website did launch on Thursday, and there are a lot of people waiting on the waiting list because they want to open up that Greenwood account. So, guys, please Google it, research it, and find out if that works for you. All right, so, Judge, I am going to open up a few lines. Guys, please, 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 you guys know that we share this on so many platforms.
You left one person out again. By the way, Valerie, correctly, Ambassador Andrew Young was one of the primary founders of Bounce TV. So
in the article, they listed.
I know, but but that's like the article that used to be on me for the show saying I grew up in the Crenshaw area. No, I grew up a hell of a lot deeper in the South Central than Crenshaw. That was late. And they talked about I was the first black prosecutor, but they never mentioned that I was boss of the public defender's office, which was more important. See, it's selective. So Andrew Young, yes, was mayor of Atlanta. But more importantly, on the international scale, he was the U.S. ambassador to the U.N.
You think CNN was trying to be slick?
Yeah, they are. They are. They do it all the time. They always come, like, when I asked them about that, and then they said, well, you know, you've already got enough credentials. Why do you want more? Because that's the most important one. Well, no, it's not. See, you just want to diminish somebody black who has these credentials. See, like they say, General Powell, but they never say Secretary of State Powell. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you remember when, real quick, before we open up the lines, in 832-708, I see you sitting in the cut. So, again, I told you you're part of the family. When you're ready to speak, just press the number one. I happened to notice that as I was scrolling down, Judge, we already got a full house.
Don't forget Bernard. President you've got Obama somebody that started. Wants you on his show that wants to talk to you. Bernard, he's got somebody he wants you to talk to that wants you on his show.
Gotcha. Yes, sir. Okay. Remember when President Obama first, when he was first, I always want to say crown president, but when he first became president, they would not refer to him as President Obama. They just kept saying Barack. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's because he called everybody about his first name, low-down scoundrel. He deserves that because second week after he took the office, he was in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where the brothers marched with the guns recently. And there was this old woman, and I don't remember her name, let's say Mary Tompkins. And she said, Mr. President, I'm 90-some years old, and my name is Mary Tompkins. And I never thought I would see a U.S. president who was a black man. And you know what that low-down ass did? He said, Mary, and then her face dropped because everybody had been calling her Mary her whole life. And if the president in the United States had said Mrs. Thompson, that would have made her. She would have died a happy woman. And that bastard sat up there and called her by her first name. And now I run into it after me and other black judges 30 years ago had a campaign of locking lawyers and anybody up for contempt who would not say Mr. or Mrs. or Doctor when they were talking to somebody black or anybody and wanted to use the first name. Now that jackass assisted in undoing it. Yeah, call him by his damn first name. Because he always used everybody else's first name like his dumbass was being so damn trendy.
Do you think that he thought that was a form of disrespect, though? Like,
I hope he
I know
got
a lot
himself,
of kids try
and
to...
he never stopped either. He never stopped either. It was always first name. He even called his damn preacher by the first name. The one he sat there and threw under the bus, Reverend White, up in Chicago.
Reverend
Nobody
White.
Heard about it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. Nobody ever heard anything about it. but he had to throw him on the bus and say, he's being a racist. Damn, fool.
Huh.
Your trifling ass isn't much of a big a tool as your little flunky butt has been. Gay boy bent over and got it up his butt, didn't do a damn thing for black folk, did everything possible for that LGBT, alphabet, sweet Skittles bunch. That's their business, but as sure as hell, they did great politics, and he used to be known as Bathhouse Barry. Yeah.
Wait, what?
He did it. He's Bathhouse Barry. That was his nickname going through college, Bathhouse Barry.
Did you enjoy this audio? We sure hope you did. Today's show is sponsored by My Olive Leaf. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz to shop for olive leaf extracts, which will assist your efforts to transform your life, detox your body, increase your energy, get restful sleep, and rid your body of antiviral, antibacterial, and antifungal properties. Do not delay. Contact the MOL reps today. Please visit myoliveleaf.biz for their full line of olive leaf extracts and moringa products. Oh yeah, for those of you who would like a personal consultation, please call the MOL reps at 612-567-3263. Also visit their website and social media pages for the latest on sales, new releases, and more.
The Hurricane Report. Write it, take action, maintain freedom. Buy their gear, mugs, hoodies, leggings. They got all kind of stuff, right? The Hurricane Report.